I didn't count. I didn't go back in the book and look exactly how many times I've stood here and spoken to you, but it's been quite a few. And so for this one to be the very last time is something that, well, I will say I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. A lot of things were going through my head and wondering about today and thinking about all of you. But I'm happy that the gospel today is this parable of the sower. I think most all of you know how much I love to garden. If you've been to our house, which I think most of you have, you would notice that when you drive up, the first thing you see are some pretty perennial beds, and right now we had a really great, easy winter, so the hydrangeas are beautiful this year. The lilies are blooming, the ones that the deer haven't snacked on. But it's just really come to life. There are these two beds that if you came up in the wintertime, especially when there's no snow on the ground, you would think it was just a barren plot. There are a few sticks and twigs coming up and a few things for winter interest. Although, who's outside in the wintertime staring at dead plants? I don't know. But it would seem that there's nothing there, or that everything that was there is completely dead. And come back now, and you'll see what a beautiful space it is. There's also a vegetable garden out in the back, and I knew when I was starting that it would be a challenge to fend off the deer. And so we had to put up a fence. And I had a friend help me, and we went over to Geppert's in Glenside and rented a post hole digger, one of those, you know, kind of the gas powered kind. So we thought we'd have fun with this power tool and knock this out in an afternoon or so, just dig a few holes. Didn't work that way. So we were trying to dig holes for, 4x4 posts. Well, each post hole wound up being about as big as this pulpit because of all the rocks that were down there. And I mean rocks. We could start a quarry over at our house. And indeed, there are huge piles out in the woods that I think must be left over from when they built the house. And you can tell that all that stone that makes up the house came right from that spot, because they all look like the ones that come out of the ground. And here at the churchyard, we have some lovely plantings and some beautiful old trees. But if you take a close look, the ground here in this part of the country is really not great. Especially after a period of dry weather, it turns essentially into concrete. And so for getting young seeds to start and tender plants to grow, it's really quite difficult. So you either have to really heavily amend the soil, which I've done in my vegetable garden, or build up raised beds. That's really the only way you can do it. So, again, I'm pleased to have this parable of the sower, because Jesus talks about someone casting seeds. I'm sure you've all seen an image or a painting from times gone by with someone with a sack full of seeds, just sort of walking along and casting them as they go. And this was the way for many hundreds of years that crops were planted. And Jesus says the seeds fall at a number of different places. One falls right on the path, and so naturally the birds come right away and eat those up. Some fall on rocky ground. Some fall on a place where thorns grow up, and some fall on the good ground. Now, the ground is important, but the work of the gardener is also very important. So think about the seed that was planted here at Trinity back in 1698. The people who planted this seed had a tough time. Sort of like me with that post hole digger almost breaking my arm on rocks. There was nothing here. They were the, well, of course, there were the Native Americans here, But in terms of European settlements, in terms of roads and buildings and things, there was really not a lot to go on. They had to be scrappy and plucky and had to really work hard to build this thing. And so, as you know, back in 1711, they built the building, the part of the building that you're sitting in right now. And it's a testament to their skill and to the quality of their craftsmanship that it's still standing today. In fact, I tell people that the 300-year-old building is the one that gives us the least amount of trouble. It's the other ones that are the real pain for maintenance. But you see, they came to this place, which not only has poor soil for growing crops, but it was a difficult, tough, rocky soil because it had never been broken before. So the people who came here, our spiritual ancestors, had to do backbreaking work to bust up the soil, to pull out the rocks, to amend it, to fertilize it, to plant this church. And I will say that, as we can see, as history has told us, as is obvious, they did the right thing with that soil and this plant, this entity has grown and flourished throughout the years. Now, of course, there have been hard times. Some years we experience droughts or hurricanes that ravage our crops and gardens. And I like to say to people, well, this church has made it through a revolution, a civil war, two world wars, a Great Depression. We've seen it all, a lot of things, not all yet, but we've made it. We've been faithful people. We've been diligent tillers of this little vineyard of God's and this little part of God's kingdom. And we have made it bear so much fruit over time. In fact, a few years ago, we went out to California and toured a vineyard. And there was a section of the old vines. They had some newer vines growing, and it affects the flavor of and texture of the wine. But the old vines, of course, this was in the springtime. The leaves hadn't come out yet. You can see were gnarled, and they looked like they'd been through a lot. But in the springtime, new shoots come out, new life comes out, and they produce the most delicious, wonderful fruit. And I think in God's vineyard, this church is one of those old vines that produces that really delicious fruit and that really fine wine of charity, of kindness, and of God's love that we spread throughout this world. I'd like you to think about the ripple effect of good that has come out of this place. Not just the individual people who have been members here, who had their lives strengthened and faith built by coming to church here, but the waves of people who were beneficiaries of the love and generosity and mission of this place, who maybe have never even been here. Think of the 10 churches that this parish helped to found around our diocese. 8 of those are still in existence. And that's a pretty good track record. Consider that this church has for centuries been one of the most generous parishes in giving to diocesan mission and ministries in the whole diocese. That's something to be really proud of. And consider all the outreach that has come from this place over the years. If you're a longtime member here, just think back to your childhood and your youth and projects that you perhaps did more recently, times that we have gone over to work at St. Mark's Frankfurt in the feeding ministry, and our service to various community organizations. It doesn't even have to be necessarily religious. But those of us who in this congregation, out of a spirit of charity and goodness and love to our fellow man and woman, reach out and help in various different ways in our community. And so it is with great pride that I speak to you today about this holy plant that is Trinity Oxford. Now, to be sure, all plants need tending. Even these mighty, majestic trees out here from time to time need a little help. I never thought about this until I became a homeowner and erector, just how much care trees need and just how expensive that is. But it's worth the investment, isn't it? Because it took 100 years for that tree to grow or more. And think of how beautiful it is and how it adds shade and coolness to our property, how it provides a home for wildlife, how it provides more fresh air as it sort of sucks in the carbon dioxide and puts out oxygen. So they're worth it, but they need tending. And the same thing is true with this church. And I have worked very hard over the last 8 years to help identify with the work, with the help of the Holy Spirit, talented and able people from right within our own midst who have the gifts to do the certain things that need to be done around here, because it takes many hands to run even a smaller church like this. It can't all be done by the priest, and it can't all just be done by the vestry members, although we do quite a lot. So we have a very talented and very able vestry who will take very good care of this church, who will tend to all of its needs and to see that it has the tools and the watering and the fertilizing it needs to grow and flourish. Now, personally, when I was growing up in Southwest Michigan, it was in a sort of rural area, and a lot of the roadsides were undeveloped. And so all kinds of things would grow. I remember this time of year, we had this wonderful vine called purple cow vetch, and we would pick it, and it made great jewelry and, you know, hats and things. But there was also this other plant called milkweed, and I really haven't seen it around here. I'm sure it grows somewhere. But I really liked this plant because it grew in a tall green stalk and it had fuzzy leaves, which was interesting, and some flowers in the summertime. As the flowers died back, the fruit developed. And the fruit was this green pod that sort of looked like a pickle with a pointy end. And the green pods would grow all summer long, and towards the fall, the plant would start to die back. And as it died back and dried out, these pods would crack open. And they would sort of split in half. And as the wind blew by, these beautiful white poofballs would blow out into the wind and could be carried off, and they had a little brown seed just at the bottom. And so I sort of feel like I'm one of these milkweed seeds right now. I've grown with you here in this plant that is Trinity Oxford, and the pod has ripened, and the time has come for it to open, and the winds of change have blown. And so it seems that my seed, my gifts for God and for his ministry and for his church are needed in another place. And those winds are carrying me northward about 2.5 hours from here to Orange County, a place very different from here. It's a lot more rural, even though being fairly close to New York City. In fact, we are told that we will have to lock up our trash cans due to bears. Yeah, and I was not supposed to walk through the graveyard because there is a mama and two babies living in there, and she doesn't like visitors. So quite a different atmosphere than from in this urban environment of Philadelphia. But I have faith that with God's love and the work of the Holy Spirit, and your continued prayers, I hope, that I will be able to flourish and grow in that new place and help God's kingdom spread as it should. And I have faith, and I will pray, that a new seed will land here and take root and grow amongst you all. And, you know, it's all connected. We're all part of that same plant DNA, that church DNA. Which is one of the reasons I picked the hymn we sang for the gospel reading. Onward Christian Soldiers. I don't think we've ever sung it once since I've been here in 8 years, but I love it for one reason, because I like to say I am an unreconstructed Christian triumphalist. But that aside, it's a great message of Christian unity, about how we all, no matter, not just parish by parish, but we all march shoulder to shoulder in God's army. And a lot of times people don't like the metaphor used of God having an army, but it's an army of peace and love. It's not an army of swords and guns. It's an army of sacrifice. It's an army that carries the cross of Christ and not weapons of destruction. It carries tools of life and new growth. And so whether I'm there and you're here, we're all marching together towards the kingdom of God. We're all planting those seeds of hope and redemption and reconciliation in our communities. And I ask for your blessing as I give you mine, as I depart from this place. And I hope that if you're ever up in the neighborhood, you'll come by and say hello. There's a fantastic Renaissance fair if you're interested in that kind of thing. It goes all summer long. There's plenty of room in the rectory. So do stop by. And of course, we're not going to be so far away that we'll be strangers in Philadelphia. And we do hope to come back and visit and see you all from time to time. But until then, may God's blessing be with you all and always remain on this wonderful church family of Trinity Oxford. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.